lawn. But now was not the time for dawdling, as I am about to argue a criminal case before a panel of 5 judges. It is 2009, and I am a public defender, namely a human rights lawyer defending poor people who cannot afford an attorney. My colleagues and I represent the most underprivileged members of society in a broad range of criminal cases, from homicides to petty drug offenses, an uphill battle at a time when America has the world's top incarceration rate. Over 2.2 million people live behind bars in the land of the free. America has 5% of the global population, and 25% of its prisoners. It is also among the countries that execute the most people, alongside authoritarian regimes such as China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and North Korea. No other Western democracy still resorts to the death penalty, which has been abolished by 2/3 of all countries in law or practice. Capital punishment is primarily a Southern phenomenon, but harsh justice is not limited to red states. Judges in New York routinely inflict draconian prison terms, regardless of mitigating circumstances. Upon arriving at the courthouse, I am greeted by my client's mother, who asks me whether the judges are likely to overturn her son's conviction for selling a small quantity of drugs. I explain that there is no basis to challenge his guilty plea, though the judges have the discretion to reduce his 6-year sentence. Despite her resilience, she has little hope after witnessing the toll of the war on drugs on her neighborhood. The young Afro-Latino man I defend is among the multitude of destitute New Yorkers incarcerated in distant rural counties whose economies heavily revolve around the prison industrial complex. I previously visited my client in an austere upstate prison, but the judges will never have to look him in the eye. Unlike for trial proceedings, prisoners have no right to attend the appellate arguments that seal their fates. I sit down and gaze around while several other cases are heard. A remarkable feat of architecture, the Manhattan State Appellate Courtroom is decorated with Renaissance-inspired murals. The salient figure is Lady Justice, waiting to render her noble judgment. "In God We Trust" is engraved above the judge's bench. Yet a peculiar brand of justice is meted out here every day. The 5 judges in black robes finally grant me 7 minutes to present my case. That is a fairly long time by the court standards. Once I was afforded barely 5 minutes to argue in an attempted murder case. May it please the court, Mugambi Jue, appearing on behalf of Hector Merced. I am defending an American citizen by relying on American law, even though I am not American by birth. I have always wondered whether judges can tell my background. My accent is sometimes hard to place, as I grew up in Paris in a bilingual environment. I urge the judges to find that the 2 years that my client has already served in prison are sufficient for a mere $15 drug sale, as it would be senseless to force him to spend 4 more years behind bars, away from his family. The judges are uninterested in my references to studies showing that lengthy prison terms for nonviolent offenders are ineffective in reducing crime and costly to taxpayers. They are likewise unfazed by my appeal to the humane principle of rehabilitation. As expected, a judge eventually asks me a familiar question. Your client is serving 6 years in prison. Under the law, couldn't he have received up to 12 years for his crime? That habitual question epitomizes how superficial the debate over criminal justice has become in modern America. One might imagine that in Manhattan, the cosmopolitan center of the nation's intellectual, cultural, and artistic life, appellate judges would be inquisitive about the latest studies in criminology or prisoners' prospects for rehabilitation in the age of mass incarceration. Nevertheless, local judges, whether Democratic or Republican appointees, often embrace the tough-on-crime ideology or fear-appearing soft-on-crime. I readily concede the judge's point for strategic reasons, but press on. 6 years behind bars is excessive for a relatively minor drug offense. The judge's notion of what constitutes an excessive sentence has been skewed by the ruthless penal laws now commonplace in America. If the maximum sentence for a drug sale is 12 years, then 6 years in prison can seem lenient. The court will issue its official decision in a few weeks, although the outcome is predictable. My client will spend 6 years in a grim cell block in the name of justice.